few of us are just getting started. So find the red letters and then turn past the red letters, one book. If you find a bunch of red letters, you're going to be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Turn one more book. One more set of pages and you'll find the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. I thought everybody was sitting down. I looked up, came, looked back up, and then everybody's, was this Chinese fire drill Sunday? Yeah. Acts chapter 3, which would fit this place, would fit this place. It's not about them, it's about him. But I got a story. It fits this place. We're fine. We're fine. The story made me think about us and what I want us to do today. A fella called me the other day and he said, it was last year, in fact. His last year at this time of the year, he got in trouble. He'd invited somebody to speak at his church, the church where he preaches. And the young man had got up and preached and said something about, boy, we thank God for Easter. And the fact that he mentioned Easter offended a lot of the church members because we don't know what particular day of the year it was that Jesus was raised from the dead. And a whole lot of drama got stirred up because this kid who didn't know any better, I don't know what he was supposed to have known better, but he mentioned the word Easter that offended some folks. Easter, 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 Easter. If you can be offended by the thought of Jesus being raised from the dead, shame on you. If you can be offended at the thought of people celebrating Jesus being alive all over the world, shame on you. Do I agree with everything they're teaching? No. Would I be teaching the same thing they were teaching had that opportunity? No. Would I love to have a chance to stand in St. Peter's Basilica and talk about Jesus? You bet. You think I'd love to be interviewed on some morning television show this morning to talk about Jesus? You bet I would. You bet I would. I'd rather be here than there, but I want us to talk about Jesus. And it's not about the pageantry. It's not about, honest, it's not about the glory. What I want us to look at today from this text is what the real meaning of Easter was. So I'm going to put you, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be mean to you on Easter. I want you to think it through first. What's the real meaning of Easter? I know Jesus is alive, so I took that one. You can't use that one. What's the real meaning? What was the real purpose? What's the real significance of Jesus being raised from the dead? Anybody. And you don't have to say what I think. I want to know what you think.
Redemption.
Redemption. What's the real meaning? Keep going. Salvation. He was who he said he was. He conquered death. He's still alive, so he can still rescue, he can still redeem, he can still save, he can still prove who he said he was. Keep going. He was raised to fulfill God's promise, and because he's still alive, he can continue to fulfill that promise. Anybody else? Yes, and when he died, he paid the price for sin. He brought to power him who had power over death, and on Sunday morning when he was raised from the dead, he proved all of that was true. Oh, that's very good. Y'all should be interviewed. We'll put y'all on TV. I dig that. I love the fact that the disciples understood. They didn't have to go through any pageantry. They were out teaching about Jesus, and they go to a temple, and it's time to pray. It's 3 in the afternoon. We're in Acts 3. And there was a crippled man from birth who'd been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, and where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Now, we don't know much about that. Unless you visited some country where there's a lot of beggars, we don't see that. That's not a part of our culture. If you've seen any of that, what's your memory of it? What's your understanding of begging? You feel sorry for people. Somebody that's placed at a temple gate and begs every day. I mean, that's his job for the family. They're desperate. What's your impression? If you've ever seen it, they're poor. So poor that they have no chance of working, so they have to beg. What else? All right. They can't take care of themselves. This fellow couldn't take care of himself, so they have to place him there. He's begging. What else do you see? Your impression. He's hopeless. Every day he shows up and he depends on somebody to be considerate, somebody to be compassionate, somebody to be tired of him. He doesn't care what the emotion is. He just needs something to eat on for that day. He needs something maybe for his family to eat on that day. Keep reading. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He's got no pride. He's desperate. He's got no self-respect left. He's desperate. He just starts asking for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I love that phrase. He was expecting to get something from them. Did he get something from them? Yeah, if you've read the rest of the story, he got something better than a few coins. But keep reading. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking by him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Now, we'll stop right there for a second. We'll stop right there. What did Peter give him? Hope. What did Peter give him? A new life. What did Peter give him? Healing. What did Peter give him? A miracle. What did Peter give him? The ability to provide for himself. What did Peter give him? Compassion. Say it again. What he needed, not what he asked for. All of those are good answers. I'm going to get y'all on TV pretty soon, man. We have a reality TV show. Y'all will be the star. The point is, this fellow was looking for a few coins, and what did he get? He got a new life, didn't he? And not just a new life. He got the ability to walk, but he got the ability to take care of himself. Could he now go to the bathhouse? Could he now go to the tailor's and get a new set of clothes? Could he now go apply for a job? Could he now go take care of his kids, play with his... Yes, he could do all of those things now. He got a new life and he got a new way to live that life. Keep reading. Now he's jumping and praising God. I got to stop a second. He was jumping and praising God. It always has amazed me that folks that receive that kind of life from Jesus immediately start jumping and praising God. Why is he jumping? He couldn't do it before. Why is he jumping? He's glad. He's excited. He's having fun, right? And he's praising God. Now stop a second. What did you get from Jesus today? What did you get from Jesus today? I got a new life. Do we have that same sense of joy? Do we have that same sense of thrill? Do we have that same sense of pleasure? Do we have that same sense of praise? I wonder about, and I'm not talking about you, I wonder about me. Because Jesus has done more for me than they did for this man, and yet you don't see me, well, you're not going to see me jump at my age. Something will break. But you don't see that sense of praise in me all the time. I'd love on this day for us to restore that to us, to our own hearts. Let's be a people that jump and praise God. Keep reading. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's our first exercise. That's our first exercise. What have you seen in your life? And I'm talking about your life, not anybody else's life, your life. Your life, specific, personal, what have you seen in your life that has amazed you? what has caused you to be amazed at God, what has caused you to be amazed with the blessings, the wonder, the grace, the power of God, and caused you to want to jump and praise God?
35 years ago in June, she married me. And for 35 years, she stayed with me.
There you go.
And has loved me and helped me in my walk more ways than I can even count.
Amen. Amen. What has amazed you? What has amazed you in your life? What are you amazed at? What has God done for you that has filled you with amazement, that's caused you to be filled with wonder and amazement, made you want to jump and praise God? What has amazed you? Last call. What has amazed you? Yeah, it's not just he puts up with us. It's not just that he rolls his eyes and taps his foot and folds his hand. No. He thrills in us. He delights in us.
He really does go before us. And we can see it. I mean, if we're looking for it, we can see it. It's not usually the way we thought we would see it, but we can see it. And it's a blessing to be able to see it.
I would have had no, I would have had some idea of what a new life was. Would have had no idea to the extent I realize it now. It was 14 years ago, about this time of the year, when my life was over, where I considered my life done. Not just my reputation, not just my ministry, just my life. Everything was upside down. Everything was destroyed. My fault, my shame, I did it. And I thought it was over. And now, 14 years later, to see what God has done and God is doing, I am amazed. I am amazed. And thankful that God gave me what I needed, not just what I wanted. Right? In that moment of amazement, y'all, in our expression of praise, people are going to be drawn. People are going to want to know, what happened? What happened to you? What happened in your life? How have you had a good marriage for 35 years? Man, how do you know that God loves you and not just puts up with you? How do you know? There are people who hear those things and they see things in us and they want to be drawn. They are drawn to us. A crowd was drawn to them, and Peter and these fellas took it as a chance to, I'm going to say it my way. They said, let me tell you what the real Easter's all about. Let me tell you what Easter is really all about. Now, I'm going to have you read. I'm going to let you do your homework. Go from 11 to the end of the book. I'm not going to give you near enough time to read all that. You have to do that later. But I want you to tell me what he's going to tell them about Jesus. He's not going to make a big deal about, look what I did. He's not going to ask for a contribution, by the way. He's not going to try to impress them with how close he was to Jesus and how, if they'll pay attention to him, how he'll help them too. No, he's going to talk about Jesus. I want you to find the four or five things that he says about Jesus. Because today, that's all that matters. He is all that matters. Tell me the things that he says about Jesus, and I'm going to write them down. I'm sorry?
As you read it.
Okay, now that, I want you to tell me what he says about Jesus, not tell me what Jesus says to me, because we're going to come to that. That's going to be next. All right, so I've got a suffering. I've got a glorified. Now, y'all are getting these in order, and it's going to drive me crazy, but go ahead. Y'all love to do that to me. What else? He was killed. Where do I want killed? Like, Keep going. He is the holy and righteous one.
The author of life.
The author of life. Keep going. It was by His power and by His name that this one is made complete. On an Easter Sunday, this Easter or any Easter, these things are, we have the chance, whether it's in a setting like this or standing in some wonderful cathedral somewhere, or maybe just in a around a kitchen table with our grandchildren. We have a chance to talk to them about the real meaning of Easter. And Easter's not about Easter eggs, and it's not about Easter bunnies. It's, though I'm all for that stuff. My house is full of eggs because it rained outside and I can't send them outside. I'm grateful for the rain, Lord. I'm grateful for the rain. I just have to keep reminding myself I'm grateful for the rain. I'm grateful. Next time we're going to get rubber eggs so we can put them out even in the rain. It's not about Easter eggs. It's not about pretty dresses. Though I'm, oh, and I love pretty dresses, and I love Easter eggs, and I love all of that. I like all of that stuff. But the real meaning of Easter that I want my children to know, my grandchildren to know, my next door neighbor to know, my best friend, my worst enemy to know is Jesus is the holy and righteous one. Folks, what does that mean? Now don't get all theological on me. What does it tell for this crowd, for this crowd, for this crowd to hear that there is someone who is the holy and righteous one? What does it mean? He can do things for me I can't do for myself.
He says it, that
settles. I love that. We're just going to use that. He said it. That settles it. Folks, you know what it means to be the right one? He is the right one. Now, how many, you know this, though, if you've been reading your Bible, know this. How many righteous ones are there? There is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3 says, and yet here we know that there was one righteous, and that's right. There's only one righteous. There is nobody here that I'm going to point to and say, ooh, do everything He does and everything's going to be okay, but I can point to Jesus and say, you want a new life? He's got it. You want a way to live a new life? He's got it. We have a chance today to say to our children, a chance to say to our grandchildren, a chance to say to our next-door neighbors and the people that might ask us about, what did you do for Easter? When they ask it tomorrow, if God gives us tomorrow. Let's tell them about the holy and righteous one. And what that means is Jesus is the only one that's right. There may be some other discussion of religion. There may be some other discussion of some God. But the truth is there's only one holy and righteous one. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And what can He do for us? What can He do for us? He healed this fella. So what can He do for us? He's the author of life. So what can He do for us? He was killed and raised from the dead, so what could He do for us? Do you see the point? When we start talking about Jesus, the real meaning of Easter is not just that He was raised from the dead, but it's what He can do for us because He was raised from the dead. They saw Him raised from the dead, and He says it. We were witnesses of this, and we want you to know that He was raised from the dead. He's the holy and righteous one. He's the glorified servant of His Father. He is the suffering servant. He is the one that was sacrificed. He was raised from the dead. Look what He can do for us. So what can He do for us? Go back through that same list. Go back through that same list of scriptures and tell me what can He do for us. Because that's the point. What verse? He's able to bless us. Keep going. That's the last one. Find the first one. He made this man complete. Keep going.
He can restore.
He can restore. Keep going. He can wipe out or wipe away your sins. Keep going. Anybody else? He can bring refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Anybody else? He can heal us, make us complete. Keep going. What verse?
25.
It's Easter, so I'm not going to say no. Okay. Jesus didn't do that, but you're right. We are heirs. So, but here's the point I want us to make. Look what he can do for us. You want some of that? You want some of that? There are people going to walk in here today. Already has happened. It's already happened today. Already gotten texts about it. There are going to be people that come in here today that just need some help with their rent. They just need some help with their gas. They just need some help with their electricity. They just need some help with some groceries. There are folks who are going to do that, and they do that on a regular basis here. Grateful to God that they think we're a place that has that kind of concern. Grateful to God that He has provided it where we're able to help some folks like that. But what we've got today is something better. We've got something better than silver or gold. We've got something better than utility payments or rent. We've got something better than that. What have we got? We've got a new life. We've got these things we can offer. The real meaning of Easter is not that just Jesus is alive. The real meaning of Easter is that because Jesus is alive, He can do these things for us, right? If Jesus could raise that man and make him complete back then, what can He do for me now? One more time. If Jesus could make that man complete by having faith in His name, what can He do for me now? The same thing. And you know how I know that's true? I'm not just using that as the illustration. In Colossians chapter 2, He will say that in Christ we can be made complete. I don't know that I'll ever walk without a limp. I don't know that I'll be able to run as fast or jump as high. I don't know that I won't ever wheeze when the weather turns bad again. I don't know about all that, but I do know that in Jesus I can have a new life and I can be complete. Are there some things from your past you wish you could forget? Are there some things from your past you wish you could, not just forget, you wish you didn't have to deal with anymore? Because in our group, folks, we've talked about it. We've got enough visitors, I need to say this. In our group, we talk about it a lot. We believe the Lord forgives, and when He forgives, He forgets. But sometimes the life we live, we have to live the consequences of some of those things. Don't we? Don't we, John? Don't we, Beverly? Don't we, Rex? Yes, we do. Don't we, Philip? We've got to live the consequences of those things. And I wish I could. Those consequences keep reminding me over and over again, almost every day in my life, of the mistakes I've made in my past. So I thank God that I am forgiven. I thank God that I am forgiven. But every day I face those consequences. Can He make me complete? Yes, thank God He can. So today, maybe not today, what if it's tomorrow? When somebody asks you about Easter, can you tell them, can you share with them that good news? Man, listen, I know what the real meaning of Easter is. Do you know what the real meaning of Easter is, fella? The real meaning of Easter is not that He's just raised from the dead, it's that He's raised from the dead and He can make you complete. You got a broken place in your life, you got a broken place in your marriage, you got a broken place in your family. Yes, yes, yes. Then by faith in His name, you can be made complete. But something else is true too. All those sins, those things you've done wrong, those things that you hate, those things that you can regret, those that you regret so much, what can happen with them? Look at 19. What can happen to them? I can have those sins wiped out. I can have those sins wiped out. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to look at 319. I want you to hold your finger right there. And then I want you to go back one page to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts chapter 3, I want you to tell me who's speaking. All right, I got Peter preaching. And who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, the Holy Righteous One. He's talking about Jesus, the one that was disowned. He's talking about Jesus, the one that was suffering, the one that died, and the one that was raised from the dead. That's in Acts 3. Now tell me in Acts 2, look in Acts 2 and tell me who's doing the preaching. Peter's doing the preaching. And who's he talking about? So he's talking about Jesus there, and he talks about Jesus being the one that was suffering. He's the one that died. He's the one that was raised from the dead. So I've got Peter, the same preacher, preaching the same sermon about the same Jesus. And he says in verse 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the remedy to their troubles, the remedy to their problems, the remedy to their question is repent. I want you to repent and be baptized. And what will happen? Sins will be forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. In Acts 3:19, what does he say do? The same preacher preaching the same sermon using the same topic says to them what? Repent. And do what? Turn to God. So what can happen? So it can wipe out those sins and you can receive refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Okay, did he say the same thing? Preach the same lesson. I guess the point I want to make first is if you're sitting in this room, and typically, and it's our second meeting, that most of the folks that have not heard this message, they come on that second meeting. So I'm going to push it a little bit harder then. But if you're sitting in this room and those sins haven't been wiped out, they can be wiped out. They can be washed away. They can be forgiven. They can be cleaned up, taken care of. Whatever way you want to say it, they can be washed away. They can be wiped out. Those sins can be wiped out. And if somebody sitting in this room wants that to happen, wants that to take place in their life, guess what they want to know? They'll say, well, what do I need to do? And you hear what Peter says to do. You repent, turn to God, be baptized, you'll be forgiven, you'll receive the Holy Spirit, and your life will be refreshed. Because the Spirit, Jesus will come from the presence of the Lord and refresh you. Is that not amazing? Now, last one. Look at the very last one. Last verse or so in the book, in that chapter, What did he say he would do? God made a promise way back to Abraham that your offspring would bless all the families of the earth. Now, those of us who grew up reading the Bible were taught this, and so we can't make any claim of it. I did not discover it. Somebody taught me that when God made that promise, He was talking about Jesus. Now, I don't know that Abraham knew that. He thought it might have been Isaac, but it wasn't Isaac. Isaac thought it might have been Esau or Jacob, one of his kids, but it wasn't. Jacob, I'm sure, thought it was himself, but it wasn't. Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter and hoped it would be one of them. It wasn't. I guarantee it wasn't Judah, that wicked man. But Judah had a son who had a son. In fact, he had an illegitimate child. in an incestual type relationship, a boy named Perez, who becomes the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of a fellow named Boaz, who sees a good-looking Moabite widow in his field. He takes care of her. They marry. They have a child named Obed, who has a child named Jesse, who has a son named David, who becomes the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy of a baby born in Bethlehem named Jesus. And God promised centuries before it happened, I'm going to bless you. So folks, if it could take place in spite of what happened in history, if it could take place in spite of what happened in their lives, if it could take place in spite of what sins were committed, if it could take place in spite of what troubles arose, can He bless you today? That's the real meaning of Easter. He can bless you today. Do you want Him to bless you? It's Easter, y'all. He's alive. And He will make you complete. He will wipe away your sins. He will refresh your life. He will restore your soul. He will bless you. What do you need to do? You got to look at that list one more time. What do you got to do? You got to find all of them. I'm not going to let you off the hook. You got to repent. You got that one. I've heard three people say repent. That's good. You got to repent. You got to turn again. You're right. You got to be baptized. That's good. But He didn't say it in chapter 3, so I'm going to push you a little bit. Keep reading. I'm looking in chapter 3. I'm looking for Peter and these fellas having a chance to explain to this whole crowd what those people can do to have their sins wiped out, to have their lives made complete, how to be restored, how to be blessed by Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. Keep going. Ooh, Kelly gets the extra donut because that's the one thing we haven't checked out yet. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. Because the one thing we didn't say about Jesus when we were giving that list is He is the prophet that God sent to speak for Him in those last days. And if you do not listen to Him, what happens? Acts 3:23, you're going to be cut off. So is not the opposite true? If I do listen, what happens? If I do listen, what happens? Well, if I'm listened, then I'm made complete. If I listen and I do what He says, then I repent. If I listen and I do what He says, then I, by my faith in Him, can be blessed, can be saved. I can have a brand new life and have a way to live my new life. Make sense? There'll be people here, if not already, there'll be people here in this second meeting that have never heard those words. I cannot wait for them to hear that there is a way for them to be made complete, that they can hear that there is a way to have your sins wiped out. There is a way to be blessed in this life. There is a way to do that, and it can happen, and it can happen today. I crave to tell them that. But folks, that same thing could happen tomorrow if we had a chance, wouldn't it? Couldn't it? Couldn't our kids and grandkids hear that this afternoon? Couldn't the people we work with tomorrow, when they say, hey, what'd you do for Easter? And say, it's funny you ask me. Because we spent all Easter talking about the real meaning of Easter. And just leave it right there. Just stop. Just say the real meaning of Easter. Because I guarantee you, somebody will ask, what's the real meaning of Easter? And the real meaning of Easter is you can be made complete. Your sins can be wiped out. Your life can be blessed. Make sense? Let's don't pass up a chance to share that with somebody. He is the one, the only one that can make us the same way. Let's remember that.